Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good.
It's almost your birthday.
It is. What day is it?
The 19th.
All right.
Let's see. Yep.
It's my birth month.
Happy birth month. What are we doing for your birthday?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, because you're not going to be here.
I'm not going to be here the weekend after.
Mm-hmm. We should celebrate the weekend before.
Yeah.
We should celebrate as early as possible without running into Shirley's birthday. So that way I can guarantee, well.
More or less.
80% guarantee I'll be there.
I don't even know what I want to do.
Well, we got drag bingo we could do still.
That's on my actual birthday. So that's like, we can do it another Wednesday.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll think about it.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever you want to do.
I know. It's hard to think of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much going on, too.
Really?
It feels that way. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, happy almost birthday.
Thanks.
By the time you hear us again, Faye will be an old person.
It's true.
Well, whenever this comes out, I'll be 37 weeks pregnant, and the baby will be as big as Winnie the Pooh's jar of honey.
Aww. Love, 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 love.
It's really big.
Oh my, yeah, that's, yes.
Yeah.
Winnie the Pooh's great.
Winnie the Pooh is great.
I love him. He's so wholesome.
It is, yeah, it's a wholesome franchise for sure. Underrated, too.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, well, you guys got any hot goss?
I do not. Do you, Shirley?
I do. Should we introduce ourselves real fast,
though? Sure. Happy Fearsome Fridays, everyone. We are Unholy Gossip Girls. I'm Casey.
I'm Faye.
I'm Guest Shirley. Okay, so I covered an episode where this guy, it was a bonus episode, got eaten by his lizards.
Uh-huh.
And during it, Casey had a PSA.
Uh-huh.
And said, if you ever get scratched by any animal, especially your cats, because hay fever, right?
It's cat scratch fever.
Cat scratch fever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Hay fever is when you're like getting around claustrophobic.
Hay. No, hay fever is from hay.
Isn't it just allergies?
It's allergies, yeah.
Oh, I thought that
it's
was
from hay.
Whatever, cool. Okay, cat scratch fever.
Okay.
Anyway, you said you better wash that shit.
Yeah.
So my cat fucked up my arm today for no reason because she's a dumb bitch.
What a bitch.
Just kidding. Sorry. Sorry if that word's harsh on you, but she is a cat after all. So there you have it.
She's never going to listen.
Right. So, So I got it. And then I thought about Casey being like, wash that shit.
You got to, because it's actual shit. It's cat shit. That gets in their nails.
Gross.
Because they are in litter boxes.
Gross. Oh,
yeah. And then the cat shit will get into your wound. And then that's what causes cat scratch fever. It's from just actual feces being in an open wound.
I know. It's super gross. So after you told us that that was the case, I went, washed that, and now it stings a little bit.
Yeah.
Sucks.
While it looks like a bad scratch, it doesn't look like raised, you know, when it gets all red and raised.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think you did good.
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. I hope I did, and that I don't get any weird infections.
I'm sure you're fine.
Thank you.
Praying for you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Well, what are you guys drinking?
I am drinking water.
Me too.
Me three. Hydration's very important.
Yeah.
True. Especially in the summer.
Yeah.
Summer, summer, summer. Oh, did you go to the Renaissance Festival? I saw your mom post pictures of your sister.
No, so that just wasn't practical. I'm going on the 17th with my boyfriend, who I met at the Renaissance Festival. It's the 1 year of when we met.
Aww, how cute.
So freaking cute.
Well, I'm just saying.
Oh my god. If you were a person that wanted to get married again, that'd be like the perfect spot to propose.
Yeah, on year three or whatever.
Or whenever it's socially acceptable. Or you could get married there too.
You can.
Yeah.
The dress would be so cool.
You should do everything except for actually get married. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let us throw you a bachelorette party.
You could have like a wedding, but not like actually get married. You know what I mean?
Formally.
Yeah.
So that I don't have to deal
with. Yeah, just a reception.
If the divorce happened.
That'd be so cool.
But also, if you, like, buy a house with somebody and live together and call it in the state of Colorado, you're...
Common law married.
Common law married.
Yeah, after, like, 2 or 3 years or something.
I think you still have to go through and get, like, a divorce of...
Yeah. Well, I would get a prenup before we reach that time.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah.
Because you can get a prenup with somebody you're not formally married to.
That's smart.
Yeah.
So. Make sure your cat's in there. I know he would never, but it's important to put your pets.
That's a good point.
In your
Well, you know, I'm thinking about getting a house and because he was also thinking about getting a house and whatever. And I said, you know, if you get a house, so, you know, it would be vice versa. If we live together long enough, would you be willing to refinance? And so my name's also on it, you know, so that if we split up, like I haven't been paying rent or whatever, helping pay the mortgage for 3 years. And like, I'm getting none of that back. Like,
yeah.
That just kind of feels crappy.
Yeah.
So we'd have to live together for a while though, before. So I probably the opposite way is if we live together for a while and things are all good, I want to go ahead and refinance so that his name's also on the house.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so we'll
after
see.
That, so in 6 years, maybe
we just
we'll
want to throw you a bachelorette party.
We just want to be involved.
I'm very sorry.
That's okay. We're understanding.
Yeah. Well, now you two are like my best friends. Like, I don't know. It's hard to say that right now, but two of my very, very, very close friends.
You can have multiple best friends.
It's a tier.
Best friend tier.
Best friend tier.
I feel like, person. Here's the problem with
like
that.
Like the top layer of a cake.
I feel like I have 6 people that are like super close friends to me, and then it's acquaintances. I don't even feel like I have like medium friends.
That's okay.
Like, you're either pretty high up there or you're not in the friend like category.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's how you live your life.
So I either have best friends or acquaintances if I'm going to do it that way.
Good.
And then
everybody's best friends.
Well, there you have it.
She's going to hand out 18 BFF bracelets.
Yeah, there's like 7 people.
And for each of them,
and my good friends.
You're really my favorite. Link to everyone. Well, we're all standing right next to each other.
Oh, that's like, you seen Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
You seen Parks and Rec?
No.
Can I spoil?
Yeah.
She's never going to watch it. It's really good, though.
It is really good.
I think you would like it.
I mean, I tried to watch it. I didn't like it.
Yeah, you have to, like, skip
it's like a
season.
Dry comedy show.
It used to be on after Community, so I tried to enjoy it. I just didn't like it.
Well, I feel fair. You have to skip season 1. That's really, like, their trial and error season. Mm.
That might have been my problem. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, so when Andy's, like, getting married to, like, April on the fly, and he goes up to, like, 10 guys and goes, "You're my best friend. Will you be my man of honor?" And, like, there was...
Your best man.
Best, yeah, that was, like, that's not right. And he, like, says it to, like, I don't know, 3, 5 people, a lot of people.
That'd be you.
But
that'd be you.
Never doing that again, though. But maybe we could do a celebration. How about if I refinance to have both of our names on it, then we can do all that
a
stuff.
A refinancing party?
Yeah.
At the Renaissance Festival.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, we can all go there and
I've
celebrate
still never been.
That we went, you know, we made it that far.
That's a big deal.
I mean, yeah, once both of your names are on a house.
Yeah.
So if it all happens like that, who knows? The future's a lot. At that point, we can do all kinds of fun, celebrating more or less I'm married sort of stuff.
Houses are a big deal. My husband and I didn't have a single thing with both of our names on it until we bought our house. And I think that was after 5 years of marriage.
Right.
So... I get it.
Yeah, it is a very big deal.
Yeah.
I didn't even do that with my ex, so in a lot of ways it would be a bigger deal.
Yes, it is a huge deal. So. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, what do we have this week, Faye?
I'm going to tell you about some anthrax. You guys remember anthrax?
I remember it.
It was all the rage back in the day.
It really was. Couldn't you just like way back, just like buy it? Like...
I don't know.
Like, whenever you could buy just, like, anything.
It's a poison, right?
Yeah, it's like a spore.
Didn't people use it to poison rats?
I'm sure.
Am I crazy?
I'm sure you could just, like, literally buy it at, like, your local pharmaceutical place.
I remember getting like sour candy and then there's like the sugar at the bottom and being like, anthrax. It was so fun.
Yeah, anthrax. Back in the back in the olden days, I think it was like over the counter. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. The 2001 anthrax attacks, also known as Amerithrax, a portmanteau of America and anthrax, occurred in the United States over the course of several weeks, beginning on September 18th, 2001, 1 week after September 11th.
Oh, shit.
Letters containing anthrax spores were mailed to several news media offices and to Democratic Senators Tom Daschle and Patrick Leahy, killing 5 people and infecting 17 others.
Mm.
According to the FBI, the ensuing investigation became one of the largest and most complex in the history of law enforcement.
Wow.
The attacks followed a week after the September 11th attacks, which had caused the destruction of the World Trade Center in New York City, in case you didn't know, damage to the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia, and the crash of an airliner in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. The anthrax attack came in 2 waves. The first set of anthrax letters had a Trenton, New Jersey postmark dated September 18th. 5 letters are believed to have been mailed at this time to ABC News, CBS News, NBC News, and the New York Post, all located in New York City, and to National Enquirer at American Media, Inc., AMI, in Boca Raton, Florida. Robert Stevens, who worked at the Sun tabloid, also published by AMI, died on October 5th, 2001, 4 days after entering a Florida hospital with an undiagnosed illness that caused him to vomit and be short of breath.
Yikes. That mail system is very fast if it got to them the same day he mailed it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, good for their mailing.
USPS.
Way to go, USPS.
Okay. So he died, and at the time they didn't know
he
why?
He died in October, so took a little while, I guess.
Oh, jeez.
Maybe he didn't inhale as much of it.
He might not have opened it.
Yeah.
Too. Mm. So it caused him to vomit and be short of breath, which is like a typical Sunday for me.
Yes.
Yeah, so I would never know if I had anthrax.
Terrible.
Sounds like first 5 months of pregnancy for me.
Yeah, it happens sometimes.
Only the New York Post and the NBC News letters were found. The existence of the other 3 letters is inferred because individuals at ABC, CBS, and AMI became infected with anthrax. So they couldn't find the letters, but they were still sick.
Damn.
Scientists examining the anthrax from the New York Post letter said it appeared as a clumped, coarse, brown, granular material looking like dog food.
Damn.
So when we think about anthrax, we think of white powder.
Yes.
So this first one
looks like dog
was
food.
Gross. Yeah, I saw a picture. It's disgusting.
Did it look like dog food?
I mean, it kind of just looked like slop to me.
Oh gosh, like oatmeal.
Like, well, it was dry, but
ew,
like,
gosh. No, yeah. Do not like.
It was gross. 2 more anthrax letters bearing the same Trenton. It wasn't actually. It was like on the paper. Sorry, I just had to go back and.
That's okay.
So it was like smeared on the paper.
It was like on the, like it wasn't, they weren't photographing anthrax because it's dangerous.
Well, that makes sense.
It's like on the paper. 2 more anthrax letters bearing the same Trenton postmark were dated October 9th, 3 weeks after the first mailing. Their letters were addressed to 2 Democratic senators, Tom Daschle of South Dakota and Patrick Leahy of Vermont. At the time, Daschle was the Senate Majority Leader and Leahy was head of the Senate Judiciary Committee. The Daschle letter was opened by an aide, Grant Leslie, on October 15th, and the government mail service was shut down. The unopened Leahy letter was discovered in an impounded mailbag on November 16th. It had been misdirected to the State Department mail annex in Sterling, Virginia, because a zip code was misread. A postal worker there, David Hose, contracted inhalation anthrax.
No.
That's the worst kind. Like, if you touch it, you get, like lesions on your skin.
Mm-hmm.
But if you inhale it, you're, like, you're fucked. Dead for sure.
Because yeah. That's, like, in your lungs at that
yeah.
point. Lesions mm-hmm. on your lungs.
I think it said it was, like, 97% death if you inhale
wow.
it. Wow. Pretty bad.
That's crazy.
More potent than the first anthrax letters, the material in the Senate letters was highly refined dry powder consisting of about 1 gram of nearly pure spores. So that's like the one we know and love.
Mm-hmm. I love it so much.
A series of conflicting news reports appeared, some claiming the powders had been weaponized with silica. Bioweapons experts who later viewed images of the anthrax saw no indication of weaponization.
I think Criminal Minds covered this.
Did they? Kind of.
I do think so. The more you talk about it, the more I'm like, sounds like Criminal Minds episode.
See, I knew about anthrax, and I didn't know these details, though, and I was, like, very entertained writing this.
I had no clue.
Copy-pasting this.
I had no clue. Like, I didn't know that the second batch, like, he's basically, like, trial and erroring.
Yeah.
Does it ever get to the point where it was in envelopes? Like, the licky part of envelopes?
I don't think so.
Or the licky part of stamps back in the day?
Wouldn't he, like, die? Like, yeah. The guy who sent it, like, if it was on his tongue.
Because I thought that was, like, part of the conspiracy for a while, is that if you, like, not to lick your envelopes because there might be anthrax on it.
Oh. I mean, I'm sure there was, like, a lot of, like, hoopla around avoiding anthrax.
That's kind of a big deal.
Hoopla! Hoopla? Yeah, what from SpongeBob.
Oh.
Hoopla!
Yeah, okay.
At least 22 people developed anthrax infections, 11 of whom contracted the especially life-threatening inhalation variety. 5 died of inhalation anthrax, Stevens, 2 employees of the Brit... What?
I don't know.
Stevens. Oh, Stevens is the aide, right? No, he's not. I don't know who Stevens is.
Stevens the mailman?
That's fine.
Oh, yeah, Stevens the mail guy. Stevens, 2 employees of the Brentwood Mail Facility in Washington, D.C., Thomas Morris Jr. and Joseph Kersine, and 2 whose source of exposure to the bacteria is still unknown, Kathy Nguyen, a Vietnamese immigrant resident in the New York City borough of the Bronx, who worked in the city, and the last known victim, Audalie Lundgren.
Audalie.
That's like a mixture of Oliver and
Odd.
Ellie, my 2 children.
I don't know if I like it, but I also don't know if I don't like it, you know?
I love it.
I think your kids' name are Petrie and Telescope, though.
What?
This is from an episode. My favorite one.
Petrie and Telescope?
Yes.
Are Faye's kids' names?
Yeah, go look up the episode, Green Dildo.
It's called Green Dildo.
No, it's in there. Yeah, it's called like Big Green. Go look it up. You'll find it. I swear. It exists.
I don't think it's called Green Dildo.
No,
it's like sounds like a
sounds yes. Dildo.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes, that is the name of it. Go look it up. That's maybe my favorite episode. We were very drunk. It was
Petrie
great.
And Telescope.
Yeah. We'll listen after. Okay, go on, please.
So, the last known victim, Audalie Lundgren, a 94-year-old widow of a prominent judge from Oxford, Connecticut. Why kill a 94-year-old? Come on.
I don't like that.
Because it took so long to identify the culprit, the 2001 anthrax attacks have been compared to the Unabomber attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Authorities believe that the anthrax letters were mailed from Princeton, New Jersey. Investigators found anthrax spores in a city street mailbox located at 10 Nassau Street, near the Princeton University campus.
Oh.
About 600 mailboxes were tested for anthrax, which could have been used to mail the letters, and the Nassau Street box was the only one to test positive.
Wow. That's a lot of testing.
Here's the really cool part. The New York Post and the NBC newsletters contained the following note. All caps. 9/11/01. This is next. Take penicillin now. Death to America. Death to Israel. Allah is great.
Oh.
What?
The second note was addressed to Senators Daschle and Leahy and read, 9/11/01, you cannot stop us. We have this anthrax. You die now. Are you afraid? Death to America. Death to Israel. Allah is great.
Oh, so this is like terrorists.
Or is it?
Okay, let's find out.
All the letters were copies made by a copy machine, and the originals were never found. Each letter was trimmed to a slightly different size. The Senate letter uses punctuation, while the media letter does not.
So it's speculated that maybe they were different people?
I think it's just different times they were written. The handwriting on the media letter and envelopes is roughly twice the size of the handwriting on the Senate letter and envelopes.
Wow.
The envelopes addressed to senators had a fictitious return address. This is crazy. Fourth grade, Greendale School, Franklin Park, New Jersey, 08852.
Hmm.
So it was like sending them a letter that you would think came from a fourth grade class.
Was there anthrax in this letter? Or just...
Yes, this is the return address on the anthrax letter.
On all of them?
Or... On the one from the senators, or to the senators.
Wow.
Franklin That's Park, New Jersey so exists, but the zip code is for a nearby Monmouth Junction, New Jersey.
Hmm.
There is no Greendale School in Franklin Park or Monmouth Junction, New Jersey. There is a Greenbrook Elementary School in adjacent South Brunswick Township, New Jersey. So he made up a school, said it was fourth grade, so that you would open it.
That is so smart.
You would open a letter from a fourth grader, wouldn't you?
That is so smart.
That is genius, actually.
Crazy.
That's very, well, I mean, with everything else they did, they're probably pretty smart.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Immediately after the anthrax attacks, White House officials pressured FBI Director Robert Mueller to publicly blame them on Al-Qaeda following the September 11th attacks.
Whatever.
Authorities traveled to six continents, interviewed over 9,000 people, conducted 67 searches, and issued over 6,000 subpoenas. Hundreds of FBI personnel worked the case at the outset, struggling to discern whether September 11th Al-Qaeda attacks and the anthrax murders were connected before eventually concluding...
They were not.
That they were not.
Hmm.
Called it.
Yeah, really. In September 2006, there were still 17 FBI agents, 10 postal inspectors assigned to the case, including FBI Special Agent C. Frank Figliuzzi, cool name, who was the on-scene commander of the evidence recovery efforts.
So this is 5 years later and they're still...
Yeah,
don't know.
They're still searching.
Wow.
During the president's morning intelligence briefings, Mueller was beaten up for not producing proof that the killer spores were the handiwork of Osama bin Laden, according to former aide. They really wanted to blame somebody in the Middle East, obviously.
Yikes.
As they do.
Wow. Yeah.
The retired senior FBI official stated... Oh, that's what he said. The FBI knew early on that the anthrax used was of a consistency requiring sophisticated equipment and was unlikely to have been produced in some cave.
What? God, that's just...
Because that's where he was hiding at the time. He was,
like, in a cave. Come on.
At the same time, President Bush and Vice President Cheney, in public statements, speculated about the possibility of a link between the anthrax attacks and Al-Qaeda. The Guardian reported in early October that American scientists had implicated Iraq as the source of the anthrax, and the next day the Wall Street Journal editorialized that Al-Qaeda perpetrated the mailings, with Iraq the source of the anthrax.
Wow.
A few days later, John McCain suggested on The Late Show with David Letterman. I don't know why he was on that. That's like an entertainment show, isn't it?
Yeah, but sometimes they have political figures on there.
That sucks.
Yes, it does. It really does.
So he suggested that the anthrax may have come from Iraq. So that's kind of irresponsible.
Uh-huh.
The next week, ABC did a series of reports stating that three or four, depending on the report, sources had identified bentonite as an ingredient in the anthrax preparations, implicating Iraq. Statements by the White House and public officials quickly proved that there was no bentonite in the attack anthrax. No tests ever found or suggested the presence of bentonite. The claim was just concocted from the start. It just never happened, nonetheless. A few conservative journalists repeated ABC's bentonite report for several years.
Wow.
Even after the invasion of Iraq proved there was no involvement.
So, like, we were all there. I mean, we were all a part of the world whenever 9/11 happened. And there was a huge panic about... Middle East and everything, but like I feel like this is unnecessarily fucked up.
Blaming it on them?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like they're taking the views of like satanic panic and they're just like causing panic.
Yeah. Well, I get to it a little bit later, but there was a reason they were...
Political agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing you have to also think about why the Republicans, I mean, okay, whatever, to get political, just give me my one sentence of political, yeah, is that the Democrats were being attacked by this. Mm-hmm. If Republican senators had been attacked by this, I mean, I wonder what may or may not have changed.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Anyway.
So do you want to take a quick break?
Yes, let's take a break and then keep talking about this horrible thing that happened.
All right.
And we're back.
Hello.
Hello.
You know what I just realized?
What?
You're wearing a mushroom dress.
Oh, I'm on theme.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I left this dress from far away. When you get up close, it's all like blown out.
Like blurry. Pixelated.
Yeah.
Did you get it on the internet?
Got it on Amazon.
Really?
Yeah. But it was like super cheap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
A major focus in the early years of the investigation was bioweapons expert Stephen Hatfill, who was eventually exonerated. Bruce Edwards Ivins, a scientist at the government's biodefense labs at Fort Detrick in Frederick,
okay,
Maryland, became a focus around April 4th, 2005. On April 11th, 2007, Ivins was put under periodic surveillance, and an FBI document stated that he was an extremely sensitive subject in the 2001 anthrax attacks.
What does that mean? Sensitive subject?
I think they were afraid of, like, spooking him.
Oh.
Like, letting him on.
Okay, okay.
On July 29th, 2008, Ivins committed suicide with an overdose of Tylenol. Why would you choose Tylenol?
I don't know. That's really sad.
Especially when you have anthrax.
Well, if he did. But if he had been being surveilled by for 1-2 years, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, it's like, you know, he probably didn't have any other days, they would have caught him.
I don't know.
Oh, let's go.
Federal prosecutors declared Ivins the sole culprit on August 6th, 2008. Based on DNA evidence leading to an anthrax vial in his lab.
Oh.
Wow.
2 days later, Senator Chuck Grassley and Representative Rush D. Holt Jr. called for hearings into the Department of Justice and FBI's handling of the investigation. The FBI formally closed its investigation on February 19th, 2010. So, way later.
Hmm.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
I was surprised to learn that.
Well, maybe they had to do a lot of... What were the time frames again? 2007 to 2010?
Yeah, but I mean from 2001 to 2010.
Oh.
Right.
It's a long time.
That is a really long time.
In 2008, the FBI requested a review of the scientific methods used in their investigation from the National Academy of Sciences. Which released their findings in the 2011 report review of the scientific approaches used during the FBI's investigation of the 2001 anthrax letters.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why is that page not double-sided?
Well, you see, this page and this page...
We're stuck together.
Oh! There's actually a blank page in the middle of these ones.
I see. Oh, okay.
Because I'm out of letter paper, and I have, like, the long paper, and I just cut it.
Oh, the legal paper?
Yeah.
Mm.
So it's all rough.
That's fine.
Okay, that answered my question.
The report cast doubt on the government's conclusion that Ivins was the perpetrator, finding that the type of anthrax used in the letters was correctly identified as the Amis strain of the bacterium, but that there was insufficient scientific evidence for the FBI's assertion that it originated from Ivins' laboratory. The FBI responded by pointing out that the review panel asserted that it would not be possible to reach a definite conclusion based on science alone, and said that a combination of factors led to the FBI to conclude that Ivins had been the perpetrator. Some information is still sealed concerning the case and Ivins' mental health.
Oh.
The government settled lawsuits that were filed by the widow of the first anthrax victim, Bob Stevens, for $2.5 million with no admission of liability. The settlement was reached solely for the purpose of avoiding the expenses and risks of further litigations, according to the statement in the agreement.
Who's paying that if he's dead?
I don't know.
Taxpayers.
Probably.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they sold that anthrax to someone else. Probably worth something.
It might be the government, actually. The government settled lawsuits that were filed by the widow.
Oh, yeah. I assume that they were being sued. I didn't understand why that was fair, but I assume that was they were being sued for some reason.
I don't know. I'm choosing to look over that because I don't get it.
Oh, okay. Maybe like they're suing. Is USPS owned by the government?
Yes.
Yeah.
So maybe that is how it tracks.
I think it would be the FBI that like where they said that they made mistakes. Yeah. But I don't know.
Okay.
I think USPS or the FBI, either of those. Okay.
So here's the cool wild part.
Hey, Skeeter.
Ivins told a mental health counselor more than a year before the anthrax attacks that he was interested in a young woman who lived out of town and that he had mixed poison, which he took with him when he went to watch her play a soccer match. If she lost, he was going to poison her.
Oh.
Oh, what?
Well, that's a way to convince somebody to win. Did she win?
I guess. This was said by the counselor who treated Ivins at a Frederick clinic for 4 or 5 times in the mid-2000s.
A health clinic or?
It's like a mental health clinic.
Okay.
She said that Ivins emphasized that he was a skillful scientist who knew how to do things without people finding out.
Oh.
The counselor was so alarmed by his emotional descriptions of a specific homicidal plan that she immediately alerted the head of her clinic and a psychiatrist who had treated Ivins, as well as the Frederick Police Department. Huh. She said that the police told her that nothing could be done because she did not have the woman's address or last name.
Isn't that how it always is?
Isn't that how it be?
I feel like they should be able to freaking find that out, though.
They should be going after him.
Oh, yeah, or even, like, still put in a statement or whatever, like have it on record.
Well, really? For sure. Well, I'm just saying, like, they should be able to find out who this woman is. I feel like you can't. I mean, there must be phone record. I mean,
something. Yeah. They just didn't try even at all.
I feel like a psychiatrist could have got that, like, her last name out of them, out of him. Like, and what was her last name? Said in like a very nonchalant way. Like, oh, Stevens.
What's your favorite color? And what was your victim's last name?
What was the name on her T-ball shirt?
What'd the back say? In 2008, Ivins told a different therapist that he planned to kill his coworkers and go out in a blaze of glory.
Oh.
The therapist stated in an application for a restraining order that Ivins had a history dating to his graduate days of homicidal threats, actions, plans, threats and actions towards therapists. That's said weird. I don't know why.
He often tells therapists he has these big plans to kill people.
Yeah.
And then threatens them as well.
Yeah.
Yikes.
So, wait, what is his job? How does he know how to anthrax?
He's a scientist.
I think he was a bioscientist or something.
Yeah,
something
and he's like that. He's growing it in his house or lab or whatever?
I think so.
That's insane.
Mm.
David Irwin, his psychiatrist, called him a homicidal sociopath with clear intentions.
Well, that's not a good look.
So, in the letters that I showed you earlier, the characters A and T were sometimes bolded or highlighted by tracing over, according to the FBI, suggesting that the letters contained hidden code.
Okay.
So this part is kind of boring, but it's cool at the end.
Okay.
Following the search of his home, car, and office, On November 1st, 2007, investigators began examining his trash. A week later, just after 1 a.m. on the morning of November 8th, the FBI stated that Ivins was observed throwing away a copy of a book entitled Godel, Escher, and Bach, an Eternal Golden Braid, published by Douglas Hofstadter.
Hofstadter?
Hofstadter. In 1979, and a 1992 issue of American Scientist Journal, which contained an article entitled The Linguistics of DNA and discussed, among other things, codons and hidden messages.
Hmm.
The book contains a lengthy description of the encoding-decoding procedures, including an illustration of hiding messages within a message by bolding certain characters. According to the FBI summary report, when they lifted out just the bolded letters, investigators got TTTAATTAT, an apparent hidden message. The three letter groups are codons, meaning that each sequence of three nucleic acids will code for a specific amino acid.
Okay.
So TTT could mean phenethylamine, mm-hmm, or a single letter designator F. AAT is asparagine, or single letter designator N. TAT, tyrosine, single letter designator Y. So that either spells Pat from the first word, P-A-T,
mm-hmm,
or F-N-Y from the second part. F-N-Y being a verbal insult at New York. F-N-Y!
Oh.
Oh.
Or P-A-T, Pat, the nickname of Dr. Ivan's former colleague, number two. I don't know what number two means.
Like his second and like his assistant, basically.
Oh.
Maybe.
Okay.
I'm assuming.
Or like just number two in the department. So maybe they were higher. I don't know.
No idea. Ivins was known to have a dislike for New York City, and four of the media letters had been sent to New York. The report states that it was obviously impossible for the task force to determine with certainty that either of these two translations was correct.
Mm-hmm.
However, the key point to the investigation or investigative analysis is that there is a hidden message, not so much what that message is.
Hmm.
According to the FBI, Ivins showed a fascination with codes and also had an interest in secrets and hidden messages, and was familiar with biochemical codons. So here's the aftermath of the attacks. It led to widespread confiscation and curtailment of U.S. mail, especially to U.S. mail or media companies. Checks, bills, letters, and packages simply stopped arriving. For many people and businesses that had resisted the cultural shift to email, this was the moment that pushed them online.
Isn't Damn, that cool? That is cool.
I mean, it's not cool, but it's cool.
Just like how people, I'm sure there were still people that were holding out on buying streaming services.
Uh-huh.
And then COVID happened.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well,
it's a push.
What am I going to do now?
Can't go to the store and buy a DVD.
Right.
Like, might as well get Disney Plus.
After the 9/11 attacks, the subsequent anthrax mailings, lawmakers were pressed for legislation to combat further terrorist attacks. Under heavy pressure from the Attorney General, a bipartisan compromise in the House Judiciary Committee allowed legislation for the Patriot Act to move forward for full consideration later that month. The theory that Iraq was behind the attacks, based on purported evidence that the powder was weaponized and some reports of alleged meetings between 9/11 conspirators and Iraqi officials, may have contributed to the hysteria which ultimately enabled the 2003 invasion of Iraq.
Isn't wow. That
crazy?
That is crazy.
Thanks to anthrax and people lying, we got to invade a country.
And cause like a really long war.
Kill a bunch of people.
Lots of Americans that died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And innocent other people.
Yes, yes, yes.
I was very entertained because I knew about anthrax and I knew eventually it was some white guy, no offense, but I was little, so I didn't know yeah, all this.
No, I had no clue.
I didn't know any of that, really. Yeah, I knew like about an event,
yeah,
but obviously I just remembered the conspiracy theory.
I I didn't know that it was so recently closed either.
Yeah.
Like, I assume that would have been way done, like,
so literally, when we got in 2006, I was like, why are they... I didn't think that they actually caught a guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, before I knew that, I was like, why are they even bothering anymore? Mm-hmm. Like, literally, I was like, well, they should just, like, not be spending our tax dollar. And then they ended up catching him, and I was like, oh, well, shit. I guess it was worth it.
So I wonder if he's just like some crazy homicidal man, why did he have to make it look like it was coming from terrorists?
He's a racist. I don't get. I don't know.
I don't understand the motivation there.
He wanted to cause hysteria.
I think this guy sucks.
Yeah.
He had a political agenda, or maybe he's just wacko.
It would make sense because he sent it to Democratic senators.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, literally, just thinking that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Anyway.
Sounds like some stuff the good old boys would do nowadays.
Yeah, really. So next time you're eating sour candy, like gummy worms or whatever, and you have the powder at the end, show it to your friends and say, anthrax.
Oh my gosh.
It's a fun, treasured activity from 2001.
Oh my gosh.
Yikes.
Well, I don't eat sour candies, but next time you do, which will probably be over here.
I will.
You can show me your anthrax.
Anthrax.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, that was an interesting story. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Clap.
Oh.
All right. Anthrax.
Yay.
All right, babe.
All right. Well, happy almost birthday.
Thank you.
I hope your birthday goes well. I hope your trip goes well.
Thank you.
If you guys decide to do it, if it works out. And then hopefully I'm still pregnant by then. I hope so. I want to go 40 weeks.
Yeah.
Understandably.
Yeah. Want her to be good and cooked.
Big and healthy.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I feel for you.
Why?
Because you have to push a baby out.
Yeah.
I mean, at any point, it's going to suck. I'd rather her be healthy.
Well, yeah, I agree. Okay.
Than come out all tiny and fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Yikes.
You know.
Okay. Long, long pregnancy for you.
Yes.
Okay.
A normal amount of pregnancy for me. All right. Well, I guess we'll see you guys next week. And follow us on social media. We're on Holy Gossip Girls on Facebook and Instagram, at Girls Unholy on Twitter. And email us if you heard some anthrax conspiracy theories 20 years ago at unholygossipgirls@gmail.com.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next Friday.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.